where the Koch brothers want to spend their political money. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Koch brothers, energy tycoons with many political interests, have just hosted 400 of their multimillionaire and billionaire economic conservative allies at a donors conference in Colorado. There was about $250 million on the table there to be deployed into this election cycle through Koch fundraising and advocacy groups like Freedom Partners and Americans for Prosperity. Charles Koch told the group that the brothers will be spending down ballot in House and Senate and governor's races instead of top of ballot, i.e. for president. And that appears to mean no money for Donald Trump's campaign, but it does not mean Charles Koch is even remotely considering backing Hillary Clinton, instead calling that assertion, quote, blood libel. More now from Mitchell Hartman at the Marketplace desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting.
So the Kochs originally talked about spending $750 million on Republican candidates in 2016. Now, as you said, it seems more like it'll be $250 million. And Charles Koch is clear, no money from the brothers' political advocacy groups to directly help Trump get elected. Koch says that neither Trump nor Clinton passes what he calls his free market test, and that's that the candidate believes in and will fight for free markets and free trade. Now, you know, $250 million put into TV ads and ground game to elect Republican senators, let's say in swing states like Ohio, Florida, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, I mean, that could have a lot of impact. The Kochs are trying to hold on to the GOP's razor-thin Senate majority and also not lose too much ground in the House.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you. That phrase used by Charles Koch, blood libel, is freighted with an ugly history. Put Marketplace APM into Instagram and you'll find a link to a BBC examination of that term. The Republican and Democratic National Conventions, as you know, are done, but more than a month sooner than back in 2012. That means we're still more than 3 months from Election Day, something that will play out in the presidential campaign budgets. Marketplace's Andy Euler explains.
Before 1952, the conventions were never as late as July. They were deliberative bodies choosing the nominee, and they weren't on TV. Broadcasting was still in its infancy. David Lublin teaches government at American University. He says the function of the conventions is completely different these days.
The conventions are where both parties kind of give us a week-long infomercial to introduce themselves to the country.
There's no legal reason this year's conventions were so early. Michael Malbin is executive director of the Campaign Finance Institute. He says national party committees can spend money whenever they like.
It was about rules when candidates were taking presidential public financing. Then it made a difference when you officially became the nominee.
That's because if a candidate takes public financing, there are restrictions on how she can deploy that money. Neither of these candidates elected to do that. Malbin says nowadays there are basically three things that parties have to consider when timing the conventions.
Make sure they're late enough so you have a nominee. Make sure they're early enough so the nominee has a chance to run the fall campaign. And make sure you have a television audience.
Neither party wanted to compete with the Summer Olympics, which start on Friday. Former Ambassador Norm Eisen spent 6 years in the Obama administration. He's now a fellow at the Brookings Institution. He says the July conventions mean these campaigns are going to have to stretch out their money and work the fundraising phones even more.
Look, let's face it. With every cycle, presidential elections get more and more expensive, more and more complicated, and more lengthy. The early conventions have stretched the runway some more.
And a lot of people tuned in. Donald Trump's speech on the final night of his convention averaged about 2 million viewers more than Hillary Clinton got on her big night. That being said, Trump's ratings were still 20% lower than Barack Obama's in 2008. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
One of Europe's most notorious rogue traders has done a media interview for the first time. Kwaku Adeboli gambled billions, faked trades, and lost his employer, the bank UBS, nearly $2 billion. He was released from prison a year ago and has been speaking for free at financial compliance conferences. Regulators have since tried to crack down on the ability of traders to go rogue. But in an interview with our editorial partner, the BBC, Adeboli said this.
Unfortunately, I have to say that the conversations I've had with people in the industry over the last year, I think former colleagues I've spoken to are still struggling with the same issues, the same conflicts, the same pressures to achieve no matter what. Where the conflict comes is where people fall into this gray zone. And so I think it can absolutely happen again, especially as we go into what could possibly be the next phase of the great financial crisis over the next sort of 12 to 18 to 24 months.
It's not clear just where he expects the next financial crisis to come from. He's fighting extradition to Ghana, his country of birth. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.